Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
If you respect that vow, but you say, look, death do us part, this is the kind of death.
How horrible it would be to turn your back on the spouse when they're most helpless. Makes me wonder what it is that Pat Robertson thinks is essential that a person can contribute that will define them as being alive or not.
If you think the 1.5 billion Muslims are going to consider a 15-story mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks as a mosque of reconciliation, you got to put down the bong water.
This is what God gives in his supper. Present tense forgiveness. Present tense restoration.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
I think it's only a matter of time before every major denomination considers doing something like this. The Southern Baptist Convention considering a name change, and there's a lot in that name that probably needs explanation, least of which I think is Baptist, but one might argue that since they are no longer Southern, they are most definitely a national church body, 16 million strong. I don't know what convention means necessarily. It has something to do with their polity, but it doesn't say much to the average person. So they consider a name change. And of what note is it to the media? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, September the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bobby Ross Jr. joins us from GetReligion.org to talk about that and other media coverage. Pastor Matt Harrison joins us a little bit later in this hour. We'll talk about the person and work of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a significant figure for that reason alone, but many reasons other than that as well. And then we're going to play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page. Vote for Soundbite of the Week there, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years' experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
You had low expectations of how the media would handle the proposed name change within the Southern Baptist Convention. Were you surprised?
I was surprised. I was all ready to write a Get Religion post wondering where the media was on this important story, and woke up that morning after seeing this in the denominational Baptist press and saw it got some pretty good coverage, front page of the Tennessean and Nashville, got some coverage in Houston and some other places. So yeah, I was surprised.
What angle did the media generally take on this?
The media, they generally took a pretty straightforward angle of largest Protestant denomination looking into a name change and kind of probably the issue of some of the questions related to being the South and some of the baggage related to the Civil War and some of the historical roots of that name and I guess the question of whether that's an appropriate name 100-something years later.
Any gaps in the way you think it was generally covered?
No, I think they did a pretty good job for first day. I mean, I think it's one of those stories that if it is approved, it'll take two annual meeting votes by Southern Baptists to change it. So there's certainly a lot of time to get into some of the other possible angles on the story.
So then as a story, how would you explain, from a reporter's perspective, what the Southern Baptist Convention is up to? Why do they think a name change at this point might be in their best interest?
I think that the Southern Baptist Convention, they feel like that they see themselves as a national and international denomination with a worldwide vision, and they feel like the Southern name may hamper them in places like Wyoming and Idaho and in the Northeast. People say, Southern Baptist Convention, but we're in New York City. What's that got to do with me?
did the media spend any time talking about people who may be opposed to the name change?
There was some opposition quoted. I think I saw more of that maybe in the Baptist press and in some of the more denominational press, talking to some of the people who have concerns. You know, there's some who support the name just from a historical perspective of it's always been, you know, for a long time it's been the Southern Baptist Convention, and then others concerned with some of the procedural things with the current president. As I understand it, appointing a committee to look into this without going through some of the normal denominational procedures that would accompany a process like this. And some of that would get kind of, you know, some of that minutia, I'm not sure how interested the media, you know, the mainstream media would be in that, or in their readers. I'm not sure how, you know, maybe some of that, but I'm not sure a whole lot of that that is real newsworthy at this point. So I don't think I can fault them for not getting into some of that at this point.
So why, bottom line, do you think that this story about the Southern Baptist changing a name rose to the level that it did in media coverage?
It's just one of those things that's interesting. It's easy to relate to. It's, you know, it's 16 million people, and it's, you know, that it's got the north-south angle. It's got, you know, we're in a post-denominational kind of age, so you've got the angle of whether even to be Baptist or not. And so I guess it just had some of those elements that just, even for a mainstream journalist, you know, there may be some other religious issues that are so maybe more difficult to understand for a mainstream reporter, but this one's pretty, you know, someone in journalism one-on-one can go report a story on a big organization looking at changing their name and what are the ramifications of that.
On the other side of how the media covers religion stories, you've written recently about something you found in the New York Times, a story about a Minnesota school district and a Michelle Bachmann connection. In this case, I take it you were disappointed.
I was disappointed, and I think the Michelle Bachmann connection is that it's her congressional district, and this was a story about a school district in what I take to be a pretty Republican kind of area and a pretty conservative community that's taken the position on teaching about homosexuality in the schools, that they will have a neutral position. They won't advocate it. They won't oppose it. Basically, that won't be something that comes into play in their teaching about sexuality. So there's been a lot of controversy there. And, you know, and some people on one side of the issue believing that the approach the district has taken has made it harder on students who homosexual students, and that they're facing harassment and bullying, and basically that the policy that the school district has had some negative ramifications on those students.
So how was it covered? You say it was kind of presented as a pretty dire either or.
Yeah, it was presented as, you know, we've got on one side we have those who favor lessons in sexual diversity should be taught in public schools, and then on the other side, if you don't believe that it should be taught, then you obviously prefer that harassment of gay students go unchecked. And pretty much the story in the New York Times, there was no middle ground. And there was no middle ground, you know, in the story itself and the angle it took, or in the sources that they quoted. They quoted five people by name. One of them was the school superintendent who took the middle ground, and then they had three people who were basically upset with the school district, saying it was creating an air of shame and that it was causing students to be bullied and harassed. And then you had one person, the only person on the other side, who basically claiming that there should be no tolerance of bullying, but that this wanting a policy for sexual diversity was part of a gay rights effort to kind of bully this on the schools, you know, is kind of buried at the end, and that person's not even someone within the school district. So to me, it just seemed like a really one-sided story.
What do you think, without going into motives, what do you think the goal of this kind of coverage, of this very issue, really is?
You know, that's hard to say, especially without going into motives. I mean, the New York Times certainly has a reputation as a left-leaning liberal newspaper, and you know, we try at Get Religion to kind of tell people, you know, that, you know, some stories are like that. But, you know, in a lot of cases, the New York Times does do a good job of covering both sides and being fair. But when you see a story like this, you do have to wonder if they've decided to take, you know, maybe a European style advocacy journalism approach and just present it as if one side is right and the other side is wrong and doesn't deserve a voice.
You also note that Rod Dreher has chimed in on this. What did he have to say?
He took the position that, you know, he basically said, you know, if schools are seen as endorsing any particular form of religion, they're unconstitutional and they're being impressive. But if they refuse to endorse a particular and controversial view of homosexuality, they're being unconstitutional and oppressive, you know, which basically, can you really have it both ways?
Finally, then, you say the larger issue here is obviously a journalism issue with respect to the New York Times. What are your basic concerns?
My basic concerns are, if you're going to, you know, and this story had a dateline that indicates the reporter actually traveled to this school district in Minnesota to do the story, go talk to some people. There was a recent petition with 1,200 plus parents who, supporting the district's policy, talk to some of those people and try to present a true, real picture of what the majority of people in this school district believe, why they support this policy, and as opposed to just taking the other side of the issue and not giving one side a voice. I'm not advocating that either side should, I guess, just be fair, quote everybody, give a fuller picture as opposed to just giving one side of the story and presenting that as journalism.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When we come back, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will spend a few minutes with us. We're going to talk about 19th century Lutheran theologian C.F.W. Walther.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.